Monks of ages past went out and sought difficulty, fasting, praying, living in solitude, seeking a life away from the comforts of the world, because they understood that too much comfort makes you take things for granted. Listening to Father Paul and Tyler's words today made me reflect on that there are times where life gets difficult. We do without. We struggle. It seems like we don't have enough. And in that scarcity, in that loss, in that, well, sometimes fear, we treasure all the more that God is with us, doing the little things and the big things to see us through, to guide us, to comfort us, to strengthen us. And as we persevere, we grow in His grace, in His faith, in our appreciation for Him. But He gets all the more glory because of it too. So as we go through the difficult times in life, treasure those little things. Look around for what God is doing. And remember that we need to have faith. Faith, unsurprisingly perhaps, is the topic of my sermon today. The need for faith in God, the need for faith in who He is and what He says to us. That's what faith is. We think sometimes too much of faith as just belief, or sometimes just a hope that things are going to work out. You know, and we can, maybe we can just close our eyes, we can shut our ears, we can just, I don't know, just kind of hope. Maybe God will do something. That'd be pretty great. But that's not what faith is, because faith is grounded in the Word of God. In our psalm today, we said the words, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Oh, sorry. "And all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." I jumped a line there. I'm sorry. But that Word of God that framed the heavens, that established the earth, is the same Word that comes down to us and meets us where we are, is the same Word that kindles faith in us and asks for more faith from us. And so it's not about what we think we can do. It's not about what we're afraid might happen. It's about trust in who God is and what He says. And remember the power of the Word of God. We serve a God who, when He spoke, creation and light came about. The world, the very world that we walk upon, came about. Remember when Jesus was in the boat and His disciples were afraid of the waves and the storm around them and they were troubled. Remember how Jesus spoke and tamed those waves with just a word. And this revealed more to the disciples about who He is. Remember too Jesus' ability to heal just because of a man's faith. He didn't need to be in the room with that man's servant. The man said, "Lord, I believe You can speak, and my servant will be healed." And it was so. Because when God speaks, He's not just talking about things that might happen. He's talking about things that will happen or things that are happening. When God speaks, reality is shaped. And so when the Word comes down to us, we have to meet it with faith. And in our epistle to the Hebrews today, that's what we're told about. We're told about faith. The author, who I personally think is St. Barnabas, but that's neither here nor there. We're not going to get into that today. The author gives us a list of a number of different heroes of the Old Testament who are marked because of their faith in God. He singles out Abel, Enoch. He singles out Noah. He singles out Abraham and Sarah. All of these people who, despite their flaws, despite their difficulties, despite their circumstances, were met with the Word of God, with God acting in their lives and greeting them there, and responded in faith. And note that this list doesn't treasure kings. It doesn't treasure great warriors. there are warriors and kings who are singled out at times as heroes of the faith, men who and women who stood out. But we don't look up to them because they were kings and warriors. We look up to them because of their faithfulness. We don't treasure what the world treasures. And in fact, if you think about our adult forum, that's by and large what we've talked about as kings and warriors so far. Y'all are probably sick of that. Cullen, I hope I didn't rant too much about total war today. Thank you for your patience with me. But when we look through history, we see so many times that people are held up, you know, as great rulers, as people who were successful in battle. Or in our current age, we look up to presidents, we look up to businessmen, we look up to actors, actresses, we look up to all kinds of celebrities. But where is their faith? Do they have it present in their lives, in their words? We don't treasure the things of the world. We treasure the things of the kingdom of heaven. And so we look up to those who stand out because of their faith. Not only are they that great cloud of witnesses who has gone before us and looks upon us and serve as examples, but they're also, well, they're people who show us how to respond to God when He acts. And notice, in particular, Abraham and Sarah. When they encountered God in their lives, God spoke to them. And note, it says that Abraham obeyed. God initiated, God called, God spoke. And then it was on Abraham to respond in obedience and faith. And so he goes out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. Note two, the author of Hebrews says, by faith Sarah herself received power to conceive when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. In Abraham and Sarah's lives, it rests on the promise of God. It rests on the call of God. And then it's on us to respond. Because we know that faith without action is dead. Thank you. Because we know that faith, much like love, is shown through our actions. Is shown through our responses. And so we know that when God calls to us, speaks to us, works in our lives, that we have to respond in obedience, in love, and in faith. And these things all go hand in hand. Abraham found himself in a dilemma. Abraham had been promised great things by God. He'd been promised descendants. He'd been promised by land. But Abraham looked around, and he didn't seem to have much of that at all. Abraham looked around, and he saw his servant Eliezer, and that seemed to be it. And then when Abraham started to doubt, in a moment of doubting, of skepticism, Abraham tried to fix this situation himself by having a child with one of his servants. And we know that that didn't really turn out for the best either, because that's not what God had promised. Now, I am thankful that in these situations that we see that the heroes of our faith are people who struggle. They're people who are skeptic at times. We have such a tendency when God speaks in our lives, or at least maybe I do, and that might just be the OCD, but I can also just be a bitter and skeptical person sometimes. But God can speak. And then there's the tendency to go, was that really God? Or if it is God, is He really going to do it? Sometimes you can just shrug your shoulders and go, well, okay, God, maybe that'll happen. I guess that would be pretty great. I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing. What a tendency to be frail, to be skeptical, to want to trust the things around us that we can see instead of trusting to faith. And we see Moses too. Moses was greeted by God in the burning bush. Moses was promised by God that God would do great things through him to set his people free. And Moses' response was, well, are you sure you got the right person? I don't really want to do that. I don't really think I'm cut out for that. This isn't a good idea. Why don't you send my brother instead? But in each one of those situations, God acts in mercy and in love. And He uses these people despite their skepticism, despite their frailty, despite their hardness of heart. Sarah's response when God promised that she would conceive wasn't exactly a faithful response at the beginning. Sarah laughed. And of course, that contributed that caused the name of Isaac to be Isaac, a reference to laughter. We see time and again that sometimes, even though we do have faith, that faith also sometimes comes with skepticism. It comes with worry. It comes with frailty. And in each and every one of those situations, like he did with Moses, like he did with Sarah, like he did with Abraham, God gives a greater grace. God continues to work through people, even when they're afraid, even when they're skeptic, even when they're worried. And so we see the fruit of Abraham's response, not just in Scripture, but all around us. Abraham responded in faith, and so God gave him more descendants than he could believe. We know that Abraham did have natural descendants, Isaac, and then his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren and so on and so forth. But that's not what Scripture is really about. God blessed the kingdoms of the earth through the people of Israel, through the Hebrews, through the natural descendants of Abraham. But his purpose was never just to have the natural descendants of Abraham. His purpose was to create a great community of the faithful, the children of Abraham through faith. Those children not of the flesh, not of Isaac, not of Ishmael, but those children who, like their father Abraham, are greeted with the word of God, and then in their hearts and in their actions respond in faith. When Abraham looked out and beheld those stars, he was looking at us. He was looking at all of us who, through faith in Jesus, have been brought into the church, have been saved, have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and then sent out to grow the family of the faithful, that family that numbers more than the stars, that family that God gave to Abraham. That's why we shouldn't get so caught up like some evangelical groups do. And I've said this before, but when it comes to things like the nation of Israel, on the one hand, there are allies, but some evangelical groups tend to treat the people of Israel as special just because of their descent from Abraham. And that's not the point of Scripture. It's not descent from Abraham in the flesh that determines salvation, that puts you into the family of God. It's following Abraham after the Spirit. It's responding in faith. That's why when Jesus was asked by the woman at the well about the mountains that people worshipped on and which one was correct, Jesus responded that those who worship the Father will do so in spirit and in truth. It's not about a kingdom of the flesh. It's not about a city of the world. It's not about Jerusalem or any one specific mountain. It's about the true kingdom of God of the Spirit, the kingdom of God of faith, the kingdom around us, within us, and the kingdom that is present in this room right now. And so we don't have relationships like the world does. We don't value things like the world does. That's why when Jesus is speaking about treasure, he says, don't treasure the things of the world, because the world is passing away. He says, treasure the things of heaven. Jesus told a parable once about a man who was searching in a field and found a great treasure, and it was buried in the ground. And so, realizing the value and the worth of the treasure, he buried the treasure back up to keep it hidden. And then he ran and sold everything he had for that treasure, to acquire that field that the treasure was within. And when I think about that parable, sometimes I imagine a guy going around with a metal detector. I know they didn't have metal detectors back then, but it's just a funny image. And usually I picture Gary, because Gary seems like the kind of person who would just kind of be roaming around with a metal detector, you know? Gary, if you're listening in on this at some point, I really miss you. It's always good to see you sitting there. I'm thinking about you. But Gary, with a metal detector, goes out and finds this great treasure in a field. And he has to acquire the field to make sure that the treasure is his. And so he goes out and sells everything. And so when we encounter the treasure that is the kingdom of heaven, that is the cost. It's everything. It's former relationships. It's former pleasures, habits, addictions, possessions. It's houses, money. All of these things we know are fading away. All of these things we know cannot save us. It's only by membership in the kingdom of God through faith, and even then, God assisting our faith with His Spirit, because we can't do it ourselves. It's only through that membership that we inherit the things eternal, that we inherit the true treasures of heaven. And of course, there are many times in Scripture where it talks about, you know, treasures of heaven or rewards in heaven. And I think that topic can be rather mysterious at times, because it does seem to hint that there can be levels of reward in heaven and rewards that are particularly built up by how we respond to God in faith. I'm still working through that. I'm still not quite sure what all that means. But the point is that in how we live in this world, furthering the kingdom of God, partaking in the kingdom of God, receiving the sacraments in faith, spending time with God in the Word, and then applying it to our lives, by doing that, we build up that treasure in heaven. We set our hearts upon the things of God in heaven. And even when the things of the world pass away, or are taken away from us, or desert us, even when all those things fail, the things of heaven are all the more sure. And they're ours by faith, because of what Jesus has done for us. And that also transforms our relationships. When Jesus was told that his mother and his brothers were standing outside the door, and I used this verse to mock Justin far too much, when Jesus was told that his family was outside the door, he gestured around to his disciples and said, "Behold my mother and my brothers." Even when family deserts us, we have a greater family, the community of the faithful that God has given us. And we have that kingdom of God within us. And so now, as we continue into our worship, as we continue into this upcoming week, focus on the things of the kingdom of heaven. Focus on where your heart, where your treasure should be. It can be difficult at work, or maybe there's an employee that you're not particularly fond of. Maybe your boss gets on your nerves. Maybe you really can't stand your neighbor. Maybe you really can't stand your natural mother and your brothers. But all of them are potential fellow inheritors of the kingdom of God. All of them are people that God is seeking to speak into their lives, that they may also respond in faith. As we go out into the world, the kingdom goes with us, and it transforms everything around us. And so as we go out into the world, as we come to the table today, respond in faith, respond with obedience and love, and treasure the things of heaven where your heart is. Amen.